be back. Last weekend I was camping. I was cold with frozen toes in San Diego with my boys doing a trail life camping trip. It was a good time, but I missed you. I am so glad to be home. Don't you know, like after you go away for a while, it's so good to be home. And I'm so glad to be here with you today, especially in your own bed. That nice comforter, ceiling fan. Oh, it's like heaven on earth. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brian Fox, and I'm the lead pastor here, and it's my privilege to share the word with you today. If you have a Bible with you, I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 4. We'll get there in just a second, and as you might have already caught a sneak peek of, I want to talk to you today about good news. I want to talk about good news, and how many have ever rolled out of bed and you had just a string of things go wrong? You ever have that happen in your life where it just like feels like, man, just one thing after another, after another, after another? I had a couple weeks ago where it's like that, man. I get out and my car battery's dead and jump started, go to the gas station and then it dies. And I got to walk home. It was really fun. But you ever have one of those days? Show of hands. You ever feel like that? I have a video and maybe you've seen a little bit of it. Check it out. I want you to see this because this is how I feel sometimes in the mornings. Take a look. Maybe. I love that last guy because that so is me. You know, he runs into the wall and he's like, oh, I'm cool. Nothing happened. And I just walked away. There's coffee everywhere. You guys ever have a day like that? Yeah, it didn't get on him. I don't know how. He was like Superman. He missed it. You guys ever have one of those kind of days? Yes? It's no fun. And I feel like there are days that we have that seem like bad days. And sometimes it feels like, man, this week is just off. And sometimes you feel like, man, this whole season of life is off. And I think there's many in our culture today, many that live in our world today that feel like that all the time. Feel like, man, there's nothing but bad news. And it's easy to see why. You turn on the news, you open up social media, and what do you see? Just bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. We see on TV, we hear on the radio, we see it on our social medias, you name it. We live in crazy times, don't we? We see terrorism, we see hatred, we see murder, we see sickness, we see, man, so many of us affected by flu and all this other stuff. I mean, we see all of this crazy stuff in our world, and we've entered into a season where not only do we have those things happening, but now we're almost in this state of, we're afraid of what could happen. You know what I mean? We have that place where we feel we're afraid, and man, fear can paralyze us, can't it? And so this morning, what I want to talk about is good news, because we have a world that's filled with bad news, don't we? We have enough bad news in our world. Just turn on your Fox News or your CNN or your MSNBC. It doesn't matter. Pick your poison, because they're all poisonous. But pick one, and you'll find bad news somewhere. But I want to talk to you this morning about good news, because if our nation ever needed to hear good news, it's now, right? If there was ever a time in our nation's history and in our world's history that we needed good news, it would be now. And this week, as I prepared this message, I realized that the scripture that we're going to look at today, as we've been going through the book of Luke chronologically, just going through verse by verse, is a verse that I've shared probably about a year ago. And I feel like the Lord wants to speak something fresh to us today, although we revisit a scripture that we've seen. And I believe it's the Lord's reminder to us that he wants to remind us of the good news. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And here's the big idea. The title of my message is Jesus is Good News. He is good news. No matter what's going on in our world and in a world inundated with bad news all around us, Jesus is the good news. We've got so much bad news, and Jesus is the good news. And our world doesn't need just another CNN or Fox News report. Our world needs Jesus. Our world doesn't need the political sphere on the left or on the right. We need Jesus. We don't need any of those things. Those things are interesting, but we need Jesus. Because our news won't save us. Our political systems won't save us. They won't restore what has been broken in our world. Only Jesus can restore what's broken in our world. And so that's what I want to talk about today. We are a nation in desperate need of transformation. We need the transforming power that only God can bring. That's exactly what we need. And so this morning, I want to talk about the good news of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 14 this morning. And I want us to look at that. Luke 4, verse 14. And it says this, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written." And this is what he read from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. Imagine Jesus standing up and just reading something powerful like that and then just sitting down. And it says, "And all the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." They're just waiting. What's he going to say? He didn't say anything. He just read and then sat down. They're all looking at him. And what does he say? Verse 21, he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Drops the mic, right? "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not just a regular guy that we know? He sounds like, he's talking like, he acts like he is Messiah, like he is God. He's acting like this, but don't we know him? How is this happening?" So Jesus drops his scripture on them and he says, in essence, "I'm here to bring good news to the poor, to set prisoners free, to bring sight to the blind, to bring the Lord's favor to the world." And then he drops the mic and he walks off the scene, doesn't he? It's kind of a powerful moment that Jesus begins. Just after we looked at the temptation of Jesus, he begins his ministry by proclaiming, "Hey, something new is happening. Something different is happening. Today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your presence." See, Jesus came to bring good news, amen? Amen? And I would go a step further, and as the title of my message is, he didn't just come to bring good news, Jesus is good news. And in a world inundated with bad news, we need some good news, don't we? We need to remind ourselves sometimes that Jesus is the good news. He is the good news, and not just good news for our future, but he's good news for our present. He wants to bring the kingdom of God here and now in our lives and bring us good news. And we've got the very best news this world has ever heard about. We've got the best, most important message to share with this world. And we need to rise up. Can you say rise up?
Rise up.
We need to rise up and not shrink back. We need to rise up with the good news of the message of Jesus Christ and share it. Now, some would argue in their minds, well, the world, they're not interested in hearing the message of the gospel, right? They're not interested. You hear the word gospel, it sounds like you're talking about soul music or something. But this good news is more than just about good music, although I love me some soul music. Right? I love gospel music, but I'll say this. The world is not tired of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. But they are tired of tired presentations of the gospel. They want to see God's good news worked out in your life. Not just words, but worked out in the way that you live your life, that you live transformed, that you live changed. And God wants to change you. He wants to transform you from the inside out with this good news. See, Jesus came, and this is the first point if you're taking notes. Jesus came to bring hope to the hopeless. Read those words with me. Say, Jesus came to bring hope to the hopeless. Luke 4:18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Not bad news, good news to the poor. That's good. See, Jesus came to bring hope to the hopeless. We need to know that every single one of these areas that Jesus talks about, he's talking about a twofold thing. He's talking about a physical thing, but he's also talking about a spiritual reality as well. And as Jesus talks about bringing good news to the poor, there is a physical reality and a spiritual reality. Of course, Jesus here was saying, I've come to bring good news to the physically, materially poor. And he is talking about those men and women. And Jesus says, we should care for the poor. If you've got a brother in need, help him out if it's within your power to do so. Right? Jesus talks to us about caring for the poor. This is the giant reason why historically Christians in every culture, in every nation, in every tongue, even in nations and in areas where serving the poor was not thought of as a good thing. Aren't you glad we live in a world and in a nation where, man, serving the poor, even whether you're a Christian or you're not Christian, whether you're a believer or not believer, everyone agrees that's kind of a good thing. And that is exactly because of the influence of Christianity on the Western world. But there's many cultures that exist around the world where serving the poor, man, they're a lower caste than you. You shouldn't do that. But Christians throughout even those regions serve the poor because there's this understanding that God loves people whether they're poor or not. But Jesus is also talking about a different kind of poor. He's talking about being spiritually poor as well. And some of you might not have a material poorness, but you might have a spiritual poorness. You might not have the things that God has designed you for. What does that mean when you're spiritually poor? It means, first of all, that you don't understand God's plan for your life. You don't understand his love, his grace, his mercy, his redemption, the fact that he's called you and created you for a purpose. See, if I were to sit down and ask you the question, and the title of our series is called this, what were you made to do? What were you made to do? That's an important question that I think we should have an understanding. God, what are the gifts you've put in me? What are the things you've made me to do? What is my purpose for being here? You know, that's the big $64,000 question. What's the meaning of life? It's to love God and to glorify him and to do what he's made me to do. That's very simple. But understanding what he's made us to do, that is the pursuit of our life. Understanding his love is something we're learning about and unfolding and unwrapping that gift day by day. But discovering what he's made me to do is important. And if we don't understand those things, then we are spiritually poor. Have you ever stopped to think that perhaps God has a dream for your life? That maybe, just maybe, God has something in store for you, that you weren't just made just to wake up and maybe go to work or do the things you do and go through the rhythms of your normal life. Maybe God had a purpose deeper than those things. You ever stop to think that maybe, just maybe, God placed you here, God placed you now, God gave you the language he gave you and put you in the city he gave you to be in, that God put you where you are and where you're at for a purpose and for a reason? See, God has created us with purpose. He's got a dream for your life. And one of the dreams that God has for his people, for all people, is this. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us that God desires that all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Did you know that your neighbors, God desires that they would come to know the knowledge of the truth? That God desires your annoying coworker, that one that you really dislike, he wants him or her to come to the knowledge of the truth. God loves them. And the truth is that you and I are spiritually bankrupt. Without Christ, we are spiritually bankrupt. In our lives, we are spiritually poor, and God doesn't want us to be spiritually poor. He wants us to experience the riches of heaven. Although not many of us will attain to physical richness, although I think if you were to survey men and women around the world in poorer countries, they'd say every one of us were rich, right? But in our own minds, we wouldn't say, man, I'm fabulously wealthy or I'm rich. Although we might not attain physical richness, God wants us to have spiritual richness, that we would have a spiritual vibrancy, that we'd have a spiritual life that would be flourishing. In fact, this is what Jesus gives us as promise. In fact, this is the promise for those that are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Say every. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's good news. God wants to bless you in Christ with every spiritual blessing In other words, as we receive the good news, as we say yes to Jesus, as we open ourselves to him, he wants to pour into our lives those spiritual blessings. He wants to give us those things of spiritual riches. Now, let me just stop for a second and ask you this question. See, Jesus came to bring good news to the poor. People who are hopeless, he said, I came to bring hope. What is the hopeless situation in your life? What is the situations in your life that you're facing maybe today that you've given up hope on, that you've given up asking God for, as Rebecca shared about praying and asking God? What are the things you stopped asking God? You said, I kind of given up hope on that. God is the God who wants to bring hope to those hopeless things. He wants to bring us hope in those hopeless situations. He wants to break through. Here's the deal. God knows your struggles, friends. Sometimes I don't want to talk to God about it. I'll seem insecure. He knows. He already knows. So will you bring your struggles to him? Will you bring those areas of hopelessness to him? Because God sees your pain and he knows your struggle. And he's come to bring good news to you in the midst of your hopeless situation. He's come to bring you hope in your hopelessness. So the second thing we learn from this scripture of truth is this, that Jesus came to lead us to freedom. Say freedom.
Freedom.
Say it again. Say freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah, you guys sound like a warrior tribe, man. You guys are good. Got to have a sword. I asked my wife if I could get a sword for this, and she said no, but she doesn't trust me with a sword. I don't know. Freedom. I'm lying. I didn't ask her that. Luke 4:18 says this, and I know she'd say no, that's why I didn't ask her. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I'll just say there's something powerful at play here. See, Jesus said, I came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, freedom for those that have no way of escape from what they're in. Now, there's certainly physical prisons here that Jesus cares about, those who were in prison. In fact, many of the disciples, the apostles that followed in Jesus' footsteps would be locked up into prison for their faith. They would be persecuted, even martyred for their faith. And throughout history, there's been Christians that have been persecuted. It's by God's grace we live in a great land that we're not persecuted. We can gather. Amen. Yes, let's celebrate that. That is good news. But Jesus is talking about people that are in prison, of course, physically in prison. In fact, there's ministries around the world of brothers and sisters in Christ that say, man, we want to serve those men. We want to remind them of the redemptive power of God, that though they've messed up, though they sin, though they're jacked up, though their lives aren't right, God still loves them, and God still wants to redeem them, and God still has a purpose for them. And they'll love on those men and women in prison, and they'll love on their children and say, God loves you, even though your daddy's locked up. God loves you. There's great Christian organizations that do that work all around the world, and it's amazing. And while that message that each and every one of us needs to hear and receive, that God is a God of redemption, it seems like when we're down, when we're locked up, physically or spiritually, man, that's when we find ourselves saying, God, I need to be set free. God, that's where I need you. And so there's something powerful at work in those things. But Jesus is also talking about self-imposed prisons. He's talking about prisons of a different type, a spiritual prison that you and I are potentially always trapped in. These could be chains of addiction. They could be some other thing, wrong ways of thinking. God says, I want to set you free from those things that you have a life sentence to. It's almost feel like, man, we've got an addiction. We've got a struggle that, man, I've been sentenced with a life sentence with this thing. And God wants to set us free. It might be that you're hiding behind the bars of shame or guilt, and they've got you in bondage. Or there may be secrets in your life that you're so afraid will come out that you're living in fear to those things ever coming out. And God says, I want to set you free from that. I want to break you free. I want to break those shackles. Jesus says, I want to set you free from those things. In fact, Jesus goes further in John 8 and tells us this. He says, John 8:34, Jesus answered them and says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Say slave. We don't like that word. But Jesus says if we practice sin, we become a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, Jesus wants to set us free. Those sins that ensnare us, that entrap us, he says, I want to set you free because each and every one of us mess up. But here's the deal. We also, we're pretty good at saying we're okay, aren't we? Right? How you doing?
I'm good.
And in the inside, we're not good, right? We can do that to ourselves. We can do that to our friends. We can do that to our spouses. We can do that to our neighbors. We can even try and do it to God, but I think all of those are not fooled by our deceit, are they? And sometimes we kind of compare ourselves. Well, I'm pretty good compared to that guy, right? Right? We want to compare ourselves to the worst guy we can ever imagine. Well, my life is, I make mistakes. I'm just minoring in sin. That guy over there, man, he's got his doctorate in sin, right? I'm just minoring over here in sin. But that's not the way that God looks at it. He says, if we practice sin, we become enslaved to it. And Jesus wants to set us free. He does. He wants to set us free and remind us that, man, if we're not careful, we can be enslaved to those things. And he wants to set us free, and he's already paid our ransom. He's already paid our bail. Jesus went to the bail bondsman and said, I'm going to post bail. I'm going to set him free. He's already paid our ransom. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. He's paid our way. He's punched our ticket. But the good news of the gospel is that God so loves this world and the people of this world, the broken, messed up, jacked up people that live all around us, that live beside us, that maybe are living in us. He loves me enough. As messed up as I am, as imperfect as I can be, God loved me enough to pay my way. And John 3:16, many of our children have it memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that is the best news the world could ever hear. But that's not just news puppeted from the sky. It's not just good news written in a book. God didn't just talk about his love. He demonstrated his love for us. And that brings us to the last point of what we hear in our scripture. Jesus came to demonstrate God's love and grace. He came to demonstrate it. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In this last verse, read it with me. Ready, go. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God came to demonstrate the love of the Father. Now, as many of you heard in the news, this last week we lost one of the heroes of our faith. One of the most powerful men of God, who was rightly called America's pastor, Billy Graham. And Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. And as he said many times, I love it, he said, my home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. I love that. But he had so many words of wisdom. But when it comes to this area of God demonstrating his love, he said this. He said, God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. See, God was saying, I love you. He wasn't just writing it in a book or saying it with a word. He was demonstrating it with his act of love. Now, Jesus uses this phrase, quoting the prophet Isaiah, which was speaking of him. He says, the year of the Lord's favor. I don't know. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? The year of the Lord's favor. What does it mean to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? It's actually called, many Jewish men and women would think of it as something called the year of Jubilee. Say Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Doesn't sound like a fun word. I just love that word. It just makes you smile. But the year of Jubilee is a law that God gave the Israelites back in Leviticus 25. And by the way, I really, 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 I'm going to add one more, really hope that you are joining us in our journey through the Bible this year. If you haven't started, start now. Start, go grab a reading plan, but we're reading through the whole Bible together. And it's amazing what happens when we read the same scripture with people in our community group and people from our, you know, other circles. We're reading the same scriptures on the same day and we're able to talk. But we just read this scripture. That's my little plug. But if you haven't read it, start today. Grab a reading plan. There's my plug. Done. But we just read this in Leviticus 25, and the year of Jubilee is a really cool law. And here's what it says. God kind of knows us, and he says, here's the deal. Every 7 days, I want you to rest. Call it a Sabbath. I want you to pause, stop working, stop texting, stop doing all the things you do. Just hang out, be with me, be with your family, enjoy the created world. So every 7 days you rest. And this is what it says. It goes on. I highly recommend it, by the way. It's in the top 10 list. God says it's in my top 10 list. It's in the 10 commandments. So every 7 days you rest. And then there's the law of Jubilee. It says this. Every 7 years, you let the land rest. Okay? Every 7 years, you let the land rest. What does that mean? As a farmer, that means I don't sow seeds. I don't do the things I would normally do. And it's amazing what happens, because farmers throughout history have learned that God's law is kind of makes sense, because if you don't do it, the land actually stops producing. It gets overworked. But God says, every 7 days you need to rest. Every 7 years, I want the land to rest. It's like God knew. He should write this stuff down, huh? But wait, he did. It's in there. It's in the book. Anyways, so every 7 days we rest. Every 7 years the land rests. And then every 7 times 7, or 49 years, God says, that is the best part. Are you ready for this? Every 49 years, all your debts are canceled. Come on. Can I get an hallelujah? It was a cool deal. All your debts are canceled. They're forgiven. It's a year of jubilee, right? And that's why it sounds like that. It's so cool. Can you imagine that if we did that today, how cool it would be if every 49 years, boom, credit cards, gone. Mortgage payment, gone. Hallelujah. If you did something stupid in your life and you didn't have money, you had to sell off the family inheritance. You had to sell off the family land in the year of jubilee. You got it back. In fact, in those days, there was many people that were in jail or in prison because they had a debt that they couldn't pay. So, man, I owe you a lot of money and I can't pay it. I got to go to jail in the year of jubilee. There's liberty. There's freedom. I get set free. I don't have to live with the consequence. It's a reset. It's a new beginning. It's a starting point. And Jesus was saying, this is the day of the year's of the Lord's favor. This is the moment, the year of the Lord's favor. And it was awesome. Of course, God's people never did it. They never did it well, but it's awesome. Now, but you're asking, how does this relate to me? I'm not Jewish. I don't live in Israel. I don't get free land every 49 years. This doesn't happen to me. But here's what Romans 6 tells us. Romans 6, 23. You might have heard it. It says, the wages of sin is death. Good news, right? No, it doesn't sound like it. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, you and me, we've got a load of spiritual debt to God, don't we? We owe God our very lives for the sins that we've made. And God says there's no good work we can do to overcome it. There's no tithe check big enough to write. Don't let anyone fool you. We can't pay our way back to God. We can't earn his favor by what we do or how we live or any of those things. The only way we can overcome our sin debt is through death. But Jesus paid that death. He died on the cross in our place for our sins. But the problem is that we fail to see God for who he really is, and we're spiritually like blind men. Jesus said, I came to bring sight to the blind. There are people that think, man, they don't think of God as that. We sang a song about the love of God, the reckless love of God that searches for us, that seeks us out, that, man, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. But some people don't see that God. They don't seek that God. They see the God they see depicted in the pages of our culture's book, not in the pages of God's book. And instead of seeing this love of God, they think of God as some cosmic killjoy in the sky that just wants to ruin their fun and take all their stuff away. But God says, man, I created so much fun. There's a year of jubilee, a whole year of jubilee. Come on. That's a year-long party. Hallelujah. But that is the sort of life that God has designed for us. And Jesus came to demonstrate this love for us. And Jesus said, man, if you want to know what the Father is like, look at me. In fact, that's what he said in John 14, 9. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what the omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-seeing God of the universe is like, look at Jesus. You see how Jesus speaks with people that are poor. See how Jesus speaks with people who are broken, who know that their lives are jacked up. He talks with tax collectors, and he's hanging out with sinners and prostitutes and people that everyone in the world said, no, 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 don't hang out with them. Jesus says they matter. Jesus says they're valuable. Jesus says they're important. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the power of his command. See, he moved into our neighborhood to demonstrate for us once and for all that God is not some far-off being that cares not about our situations. But he moved into our neighborhood, John's gospel says, so that we could see the love of God, so that we could know that there's a God that came for us, that pursued us, that left the 99 sheep that were saved and said, I want to come after you when you're lost. That's the sort of love that God has for us. And Jesus came to bring good news to this world, and his message is good news this morning. As Jesus concluded, so shall I. He said, today, say today. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The same Jesus that spoke those words some 2,000 years ago is the same today as he was yesterday. And he'll be the same tomorrow. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Today is your day, my friend. A day of new beginnings. A year of jubilee begins today for some of you. I think sometimes we forget the promises of God that he says, today is your day. Today is a new day. Sometimes we get so stuck and wrapped up in our stuff and our mistakes and this and that, and we just live with it. And God says, I want to set you free from it. I don't want to just give you a get out of hell free card. I don't want to just save you tomorrow, but I want to give you power today to overcome the sin that's enslaving you, the thoughts that are entrapping you, and the things that you don't think you can overcome. See, God wants to meet us right where we are today. To quote again the great Dr. Reverend Billy Graham, he said this, some of you today are going through heartache and grief so intense that you wonder if it'll ever go away. But I want to tell you that our God cares for you. He cares for our family and for your city. For God loves you and he shares in your suffering. Friends, I don't know where you're at or what you're going through this morning, but there is a God who loves you. There is a God who cares for you. There is a God who pursues you. Even when you feel like you're in the shadows, he says, man, I want to shine a bright light into those corners. Amen? Amen. Let's respond to the Lord. Rebecca, will you come up? We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father.
God is good. And I'm going to try. We're going to do two things as we close out today. We're going to pray two prayers. The first prayer is going to be for his people that are think they're still in bondage, that have forgotten that Jesus has already set you free. And there might, like Pastor Brian says so nicely, so much more eloquently than I could ever speak, but I know that Satan lies to us and tells us, you can't get over this sin in your life. You can't do this. And you know, in a way, he's right, because you can't by yourself. But you're not by yourself anymore, because the power that Christ has given us, he's given us that Holy Spirit. He set us free. And so with his help, all things are possible, right? You know, my dad was a Christian for a long time, but he still struggled with alcoholism. And I saw, when I was 5 and my sister was 10, I saw him be delivered from drunkenness in one night, in one prayer. I saw that. And my prayer now is just one more time, Lord. Every time my head hits that sin block, I say, Lord, you did it once before. You can do it just one more time. So today, if you are struggling with a sin in your life that you need to be freed from, there is power here today. So go ahead and stand up. Let us pray with you today, please. We're going to pray over that, and then we'll do a separate prayer later on. So if you can just, you know what? There is no sin that you might think is too small. I'll confess, for me, it's anger. There are days that I am just, Lord, just let me get through 10 minutes. And he does. So if there is a sin in your life, it does not matter how small, how big. If you need to break free of it, if you need that freedom that is only found in Christ, let us pray with you. And the rest of you, stick your hands out. Pray with our brothers and sisters, because this is what we're here for. Heavenly Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Creator. You are the author of all life. You are the most powerful, Lord. You have created us. You have known us from just in the mother's wombs, Father God. And Lord, you have redeemed your people. with the blood of Christ, you have just redeemed everybody, Lord God, and those who have believed in your name have the power that you have given us, Lord, that Holy Spirit, Father God. And today, Lord God, we just ask that one more time, Lord God, just one more time, Father God, break these bonds of sin that would seek to hinder us, Lord God, whether it's drunkenness, whether it's addictions, whether it's pornography, wherever, whatever it is, it's anger, whatever it is, Lord God, we just pray your people, just right now, Lord, ask it for a healing, a complete healing over your people, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be here this morning, Father God, that chains would be broken. Lord, I saw you do it in my life, and that night you redeemed, you restored my father. You broke a bond not just for him, but for all of his children. He had children that were alcoholics, Lord, and they all to this day, none of them are, and they all serve you, Lord. So if you did it, you can do it again, Lord God, that we ask their bonds be broken, not just in the here and now, but in the forever. That these bonds would not go on to our children and to our children's children, that this sin would be done. Lord, we pray, Satan, get behind me. There is no room for you in this house today, Lord God. This is your house. These are your people, Father God. And we declare your name. We declare you holy and righteous. And Lord, we thank you and we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. You are the Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I know that some of you are here that want to believe, but still don't. And I'll tell you for myself, I was in church for 2 years. I was teaching preschool 20 years ago for 2 years. And I still in my heart didn't really believe that that gift of salvation, that that grace was enough for me. I still didn't believe that because I thought my hands were just too bloodied. I thought the sins of my life were just too big. And I'm telling you, again, Satan and his lies, that's not true. The sacrifice that Jesus made, God sent his only begotten son because he loved us. And that sacrifice was big enough to cover all my sins, your sins, all future sins. So if you are sitting here today and you feel that birthing in your heart, that bubbling, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, come home. What are you waiting for? It's not going to get any easier. It's not. So if you are here today and you still don't believe, then we're going to pray that you, that's your first prayer. Prayer is, Lord, let me believe. But if today you are ready to be welcomed home, to be grafted in, God says there's nothing that will separate you from him. Because once you're in, you're in. No dumb thing. No stupid thing that you do will ever change that. Trust me. Because once you're in, you're right. If you want to become, if you want to come home, if you want to be part of God's family, then go ahead and raise your hand or come on up, whatever it takes. And we're just going to say this prayer together. Are you ready? Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for making a way for us. Lord, forgive my sins because I am a sinner, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you that you are going to make me right and you're going to make me pure, Lord. Lord, I will do my best to obey you and follow your ways. But Lord, I know and I believe that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus came and died for me. I believe, Lord, I believe. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.